Now we're dealing with with Ephesians chapter 4, and we are down to verses 17, 18, and 19, which has to do with how the unsaved man walks. And I think maybe I'll read those three verses again. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you Christians have not so learned Christ. In verses 17 and 18, we were dealing with the fact that the unsaved, the very reasoning faculty and intellect of the unsaved man is blind to spiritual realities. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not. Now, I repeat what I said yesterday. A person can be wise in the ways of the world, in all the philosophical reasonings of the world, and yet be ignorant of the ways of God. In fact, I would say very, very kindly that the majority, even of God's people, know so little of the ways of God. You remember in the 103rd Psalm, God made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The children of Israel never knew the ways of God because of their disobedience. But God wants to teach you and me his ways. But the first thing we must do, we must come into right relationship with a Savior. So we find in verses 17 and 18, two things then. The vanity of mind and their understanding was darkened, and they were separated from the life of God. And any person, I care not who they are, if they are separated from the life of God, they have no spiritual life. And the tragedy is that the man of the world, and some precious people among them, but they consistently and persistently refuse to accept the Savior. And this produces hardness of heart. And where there's no life, there's no light. Remember that. Now in verse 19, we have a terrible verse. And I find here, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to outrageous conduct, insolent conduct, lust that knows no restraint, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, if I take this 19th verse, it's a terrible verse. Speaking of the unsaved man and woman, and this, of course, is the general picture of the unregenerate world. Now, you read the first chapter of Romans from verse 19 to the end to verse 32, that first chapter of Romans. I'll not go into it except to point out that God gave men over to uncleanness and to vile affections and to a reprobate mind. You say, well, that's paganism. Just a minute. You don't have to go outside the city of Portland to see all this stuff in Portland. In fact, our civil authorities, in fact, you go through the whole country. At Washington, D.C., we're concerned about the growing looseness of morals in America. The perversion, sexual perversion, is very, very common. In fact, there are those in authority who would like to pass laws to take some of these statutes against these terrible moral perversions and make them lawful. It's not unlawful to do these things. In other words, you're making the very life of Sodom lawful in our day. Look at that 19th verse. Who being past feeling have given themselves over, if I may change the wording here, to outrageous conduct, insolent, God word, a lust that knows no restraint, to work all uncleanness with greediness. This is what it means. No restraint. No effect anymore. They sin and boast about it. They boast about their their perversions, their sexual perversion, their immorality, their corruption. They boast about it. I might say, my friend, this is more or less the universal character of man throughout the whole world. One thinks of that verse in Ephesians chapter 2. I was quoting Romans 1 a few minutes ago, but in Ephesians chapter 2, the first three verses, you remember where Paul says, "You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest." In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, I read, "And the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these," and it gives you quite a list of this terrible, outrageous conduct of the of man. You see, the attitude is, I am everything. I live for myself. Self is everything, and God is nothing. No wonder God demands a new creation. No wonder God demands a new creation. God can't patch up this old thing. It's so bad, it's so corrupt, it's so rotten, that God can't patch it up anymore. It's gone. God demands a new creation. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born from above, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water of the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation." It's a wonderful thing to know that God is doing this. He's bringing into being, and I've repeated this so often on the radio, he's bringing into being a new race of people. And as I read these verses, verses 17, 18, and 19, I can understand in a little wee bit, God's got to do this. God's got to do this. The patching days of the old creation are over. What can you do with it? God demands something entirely new. The old can be gilded over and powdered over and painted over, but my friend, it's still the old thing. You can fix the outside up and you look like a wonderful person, but the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? The very thoughts and the imaginations of the heart of man was evil continually, and man today has given himself over to outrageous conduct, a lust that knows no restraint, uncleanness with greediness. God entirely out of the picture. Now, verse 20, "You have not so learned Christ." You who have taken Christ as your own personal Savior, has nothing to do with your life. God forbid, and I say this solemnly, God forbid that any man who names the name of Christ should be living in verses 17, 18, or 19 of Ephesians chapter 4. I say God forbid, the terrible thing. And yet I'm sorry to say that there are those who profess the name of Christ whose intellect has been blinded by the things of the world. They are separated from fellowship with God. They're ignorant of the ways of God. And they're given over sometimes to outrageous conduct. And God forbid that you and I should make self everything and God nothing. I say no wonder God demands a new creation. We have not learned these things from Christ. Verse 20. You remember that verse in Colossians chapter 2, the sixth verse? Which says, "As ye have received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him." This new life in Christ brings a new experience. We are transformed, not reformed. We're not being reformed. We're not reformers, but transformers. And this works from the inside out. You remember in the book of Romans chapter 12, where Paul says in verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind." We have a new life which brings to us a new experience. It's not so much to learn about Christ, but Christ himself. as the Apostle Paul could say in Philippians chapter 3, I count all things but loss, what for? Just to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformed unto his death. Or in Philippians chapter 1, 20 and 21, whether by life or by death, Christ be magnified in my body. But to me to live Christ, to die is to be with Christ. You see, these things that characterize the unsaved should never characterize you and me. You see, Mr. Mitchell, I agree with you, but you know, I have a terrible time. I'm just so weak, and these things appeal to me so much, I know. But you know, there's one person who really understands you and is praying for you, and that's Jesus Christ. You remember Hebrews 7:25? Wherefore he is able to save perfectly all those who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Do you remember Hebrews 2:18? He's touched. He's able to succor them that are tempted. And chapter 4, verse 15 of Hebrews, he was tested in all points as we are, yet without sin. He's able to succor. He's able to sympathize. And he's able to keep you. And even though you may have some great temptations, physical, lustful temptations of the flesh, remember you belong to him. You're a child of God. And being a child of God, he's given you his word, and he's given you his spirit, so that you'll not walk like the unsaved man on the street, but you will walk even as you've received Christ by faith. Again, I suggest Colossians 2:6, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And I want to tell you, it's a wonderful thing that you and I today can live such lives that will glorify God. And by the way, don't worry about tomorrow. Live for God today. You know, the Lord might come tonight. Live for him today. Live in the fellowship of this wonderful Savior today. And remember, he knows all about you. And remember, too, he which hath begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now you walk with him just for today, just these next hours. Give yourself over to him and let him work out and live out his life through you, and the Lord bless you for his name's sake.